Weekly, we focus on the work of area individuals and organizations advancing equity in our community. So let's talk about it this morning. From the Michigan League for Public Policy, we welcome Jamie Vosovic, Community Engagement Specialist for West Michigan. Good morning to you, Jamie.
Good morning.
Dwayne Barnes, Community Engagement Specialist for Detroit. Good morning to you, Dwayne.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Welcome. Joining the discussion, WGVU Grants Manager Steve Chappell. Of course, a weekly segment that is part of a grant from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley, and good morning to our special guests, Jamie and Dwayne.
Steve, would you share the brief overview of our grant?
Yes, happy to do so. As you alluded to, Shelley, WGBU is proud and privileged to be administering a multi-year grant from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. We are appreciative, of course, for their essential funding that helps us conduct a number of activities in the community. But just as importantly, we're appreciative for their worldwide vision of creating more equitable communities. And if we take a look at our work, we approach our equity work in a couple of ways. We have an inclusion reporter named Kylie Ambu that puts the spotlight and delves into issues that are not always talked about. And then we're building community capacity in our partnership with area leaders of color who we've provided training to in the areas of media skills, community organizing as a distribution center, distribution strategy, and also decolonization of the narrative. And so our Shaping Narratives cohort then has taken those skills to produce content with and for their community that we're taking back into communities for change-based conversations. And I would like to reference a Kellogg study, an important study that W.K. Kellogg Foundation and Alterum Institute did a few years ago called The Business Case for Racial Equity in Michigan. And I'm going to read a short paragraph that is disturbing, tragic, and unacceptable. Unfortunately, the average child of color in Michigan is born into a path of poorer health, lower educational attainment, fewer employment opportunities, and greater involvement with the criminal justice system than the average white child. So in an area such as Grand Rapids, where we're broadcasting from, those are unacceptable statistics. And luckily, we have organizations and individuals trying to address those issues to try to make it more equitable. So we're delighted to have the Michigan League for Public Policy on board this morning. And with their mission, which I know they'll get into, but I just want to read it. Their mission is to promote racial equity, economic security, health, and well-being for all people in Michigan through policy change. So we're pleased that they've joined us this morning.
Wonderful. Let me bring you to your microphones. We'll begin with you, if I may, Dwayne, to describe a bit more of your mission, some of MLPP's activities, and your role as Detroit Community Engagement Specialist.
Absolutely. And, you know, Steve did a great job kicking us off. So, More or less, our role or how we see our mission is to improve the lives of Michigan residents through policy change. And we do that through racial equity. We do that through economic security. We do that through education policy. We do that through our tax and budget work. So, you know, we believe that policy can be done for good or for evil. And we want to see more people, the hardest hit people in Michigan, get better opportunities to, you know, have mobility upward. So, you know, all of our policy work is going to be geared around ensuring that families and children in this state get what they need through the budget, through different policy exchanges, so they can enjoy social economic mobility that we all look to. Now, the way we do that, outside of just the policy work, a couple of things. Every year we hold our policy forum in the fall. We bring our partners from across the state together under one theme, and we kind of talk about some ideas, and we send people off into their world back to get to it. Another thing that we do is our advocacy boot camp. Over the last 2 years, we've been bringing in our community partners and providing a two-day intensive training so they can get back out into their communities and advocate. And then finally, you know, the budget is a big part of what we do. So we provide, you know, budget trainings. We provide opportunities for people to stay abreast to what's going on in the budget cycle and how they can do advocacy and talk to their legislative officials. So it's a lot more that we do. But then in a nutshell, those are some of the more, you know, top of mind things that we do.
Appreciate your passion, Dwayne, bringing you into the conversation. Jamie, would you talk a little bit about your work in Grand Rapids?
Yeah. So I'm the community engagement specialist here in Grand Rapids. And really, again, Steve hit it on the nail. We want to build equitable communities. And we really believe that the way to do that is to make sure everyone has a voice at the table. Decisions are being made whether we're there or not. And so we really want to make sure people are engaged in advocacy work, whether that's at the local or state level, and making sure they understand the budget and how it impacts our communities. You know, and looking at the stats that Steve just talked about earlier, we know that that's due to policy, from past policies that has really disinvested in our communities. And so we want to make sure that people are aware of the budget and where are spending our dollars, because that's our moral compass, is our budget. And so we really want to bring people into those conversations. And if they don't have the tools, give them the tools they need to advocate. And then the other part is just making sure people are aware of what's happening in our legislative sessions and what's going on. And so we provide legislative updates, again, the advocacy piece as well. And then also just if they want a strategic thought partner on how to move, and maybe they're already doing advocacy, they need help with their messaging. And so that's really what we focus on, is making sure that people are at the table and that their story is powerful and is important and needed. You know, Grand Rapids is the philanthropic area of our state nation, and we have tons of nonprofits, and we really believe that that is a missing voice in the conversation. You know, if we really want to help the people that our nonprofits are helping, you know, it's not enough to just do what we're doing. Yes, we need to provide food. Yes, we need to help people find housing. We also need to make sure that we're advocating for them in that policy space and make sure that the policies are supporting that work as well.
Jamie, the point you brought up about not everyone having a seat at the table or part of the conversation is exactly the intent of our Kellogg grant, that we want to provide platforms and opportunities for people that are left out of the conversation typically to be heard. And what we found in our reporting and our storytelling and our activities both on air and in the community is that we can't always tell the stories. We have a primarily white staff, although that has changed, and we turn then to the experts in the community are the people that have lived their journey and journeys that we have not lived. So we found the value in that of creating more authentic, reciprocal relationships with individuals and organizations. However, Grand Rapids is over 35% people of color, if we're talking about Grand Rapids, and then wonderful immigrant population. And as the Alterium study shows, WKKF and Alterium study shows, business case for racial equity, it's when those voices are brought to the table, the various cultures, ethnicities, more ideas, than the entire community profits. However, I have a question for both Dwayne and yourself. Unfortunately, the COVID pandemic and the recent racial unrest and political upheaval has really put the spotlight on many of these inequities and disparities. Can you talk a little bit about, has the time that we're in right now influenced your work to any degree? How are you addressing these situations?
Yes.
Absolutely,
so, you know,
that's a great question.
Oh, go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. So, you know, the ironic thing about our work is, you know, the work to ensure that families have economic security, that they have access to health care, that they have access to adequate education. Those were our issues, you know, prior to COVID. COVID came and kind of shined a light on it. But what it did is it also shined a light on the work that we do, the work that our community partners do, because a lot of the work, you know, that we focus on is around economic security. And what, you know, COVID-19 kind of showed us is that those that are on the margins as far as, you know, who would need help on that in that economic security case, those were the people who were hardest hit. So our work, it was kind of, you know, people had to come to us and say, okay, well, now how do we do? How can we help? And we also, you know, found ourselves in a good position to learn from our partners in the mix as well. You know, as we're not a grassroots organization, we touch a lot of grassroots organizations. So we were able to provide, you know, a thought partner. We were able to provide data, information. We were able to connect other partners together and sit on tables to help facilitate a lot of the work that was done on the ground. So a lot of our community partners through the pandemic have been there, you know, trying to get people tested or providing, you know, assistance or helping in the push to get broadband to students, you know, who are going to be out of school for a year. So a lot of our work was kind of being done prior to COVID. Just the light shined it down on us, and we were able to kind of take advantage of being in a position to already, you know, be thinking about those things, and our partners as well. So, you know, while it was a tough year, we were really able to bring home and see a lot of changes just based on, you know, those populations getting, you know, what they need. And I'll definitely let Jamie chime in on it as well.
Yeah, no, I think Dwayne hit it on the head that it just, you know, really exacerbated what we've already been seeing and what we've been advocating for and talking about, and really just put a huge emphasis on that we have to make sure that we're tracking aggressively and publishing data that is disaggregated on race, ethnicity, and income, and really making sure we're using that data when we're looking at tax policies, when we're balancing the state budget, because that's determining on what resources go to what communities. And we know that that's important. And we know that in the past, policies have ignored that, and policies continue to ignore that. And policies were actually put in place that actually harmed those communities. And so we know that using that racial equity lens when we're looking at policy is of the utmost importance.
Steve.
Quickly want to mention the website so our listeners can learn more about the Michigan League for Public Policy, because I know there's some other things we want to talk about, and including a challenge that your organization puts forth. All of our listeners can go to learn more about Michigan League for Public Policy by simply going to MLPP for Michigan League for Public Policy, so MLPP.org. You can learn about what you do, how to engage with the organization. There's a wonderful blog. And also quickly want to mention that there are some wonderful profiles of both Jamie and Dwayne talking about Dwayne's lovely family. I think you can find that right on the MLPP site, Connecting with Communities and Expanding My Family at Work and Home. Learn about Dwayne's expertise and how he carries that into his work. And then likewise, Jamie has a blog to find out more about her. It's called Our Communities Are Burning. So it's very insightful read. So I would invite our listeners to go to their website, mlpp.org.
Wonderful. Down to closing comments. I'll start with you, please, Jamie.
Yeah, so if you're looking to get more involved, I would definitely recommend checking out our 21-day racial equity challenge. You know, especially with our recent shootings and things that are going on, this is continuing work that we all need to do. And it's a great start to really take a look at the different types of racism, how it we are a piece of that, and then really to just get started on your journey. And if you're already along on your journey, you know, it's a great way to constantly just recheck where we are and learn something new. It's self-paced. You can do it on your own. You can do it with a group. We've actually had many schools, communities, even some local governments who have used this in a group setting and have come to us with that. So we've got individuals all the way from Canada and England from using this to people right here in our community really taking and starting their racial equity journey. And if you're looking to get into advocacy, please reach out.
Thank you very much, Jamie. Didn't mean to cut you off. Dwayne, what do you share?
Oh, no, that's okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're in full advocacy mode. So if you're interested in learning more about how the budget process works, if you're interested in learning how to advocate in your community and to your elected officials, reach out to us at MLPP in general, but my colleague Jamie Vasovic, who is the West Side of Michigan Community Engagement Specialist, if you're on the east side of the state, you can reach out to me. And we really want to help Michigan residents and organizations get a seat at the table and learn how to advocate the way that's done so you can get the things you want from your elected officials and have your voice heard.
Got it. Thanks for getting it done to both of you, Jamie Vasovic and Dwayne Barnes. Steve Chappell, your closing comment.
Yes, just again, for our listeners' benefit, please go to mlpp.org. And there's also a wonderful pull-down menu, the Owner's Manual for Michigan. They talk about healthy communities, thriving families, strong workers, top-notch education. We're very appreciative that the Michigan League for Public Policy has joined us this morning. They have a lot of expertise and a very professional approach for improving communities and people's lives. And if our listeners have missed any part of this interview, you may go to the WGVU Mutually Inclusive webpage a little later this afternoon and listen to it in its entirety.